Well, good evening, boys and girls. It's great to be with you and share with you in your Sunday school service. And we want to read, first of all, from Ephesians chapter 6, and you can see it on the screen. And I want you to look out for the pieces of the armor of God as we read through it from verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I've brought some pieces with me of the armor that is spoken of here in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to show you some of them this evening. And the first one is the helmet. Well, what we're going to be talking about is the helmet. That is the main thing. But we also have the sword that was spoken of in that passage that we just read. And we're going to put this on. And we'll show you something of this in a moment or two. But we're going to get ready. We have to be ready for the battle. And we need to be ready to go forward as we march for the Lord. So we're ready to go. But as we read through that, I wonder, did you notice some of the pieces of the armor? The first one is mentioned in verse 14 about having your loins girt about with truth. We are to have on the belt of truth as we serve the Lord. And we are to be held by the truth of God's word and to hold to the truth ourselves sincerely, genuinely, and holding to the truth as we live our daily lives for the Lord. Another one that was mentioned is in verse 14, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We weren't able to bring everything with us, but we have a couple, as we said, we'll come to in a moment. But we're to have the breastplate of righteousness. We're to hold on to the Lord Jesus. He is our righteousness. We're not to trust in our own unrighteousness or our own righteous acts or deeds that we do, because all of our righteousness is ours, filthy rags. The Bible also tells us about putting on the shoes, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It reminds us how we are to go forward with the gospel that brings and unites man and God together. It's the gospel that brings peace between God and man. And then it talks about the shield of faith, and the shield is to protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked. That is why we are to put on the whole armor of God, because it says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. We're going to be attacked by the devil, and we need to be ready, as we said this evening. But one thing that's mentioned right at the end, before we come to the helmet, is the sword of the Spirit. And I've brought with me the sword that is a replica or look-alike of what the Romans would have had way back 2,000 years ago. Even in the time of the Lord Jesus, they would have walked about with swords. And even up to the past few centuries, they fought with swords, either with a spear perhaps as well, and had a shield and a helmet like this that we'll mention now in a moment. Nowadays, we don't fight with these things. Soldiers don't fight with a sword, and they don't fight with these types of weapons today. They fight with ammunition and other types of weaponry. But back then, they had the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, the Bible tells us, is the very word of God. And the Christian is to carry the word of God and to go forward with it. It may cause offense. The weapon of the sword would cause offense as the men went into battle in those days. And the word of God certainly does cause offense when people hear it. It's something that challenges their sin. And something, of course, then that they may not appreciate and like, but we are to still carry forward the message of God's word. We also use God's word to defend the Christian faith and to defend and stand up for the Lord Jesus. The sword was one that was used in an offensive, as we said, but it was also something to use as something to defend the soldier who would be using it from the enemy's sword. So we're to take the sword of the Spirit. But then it says in verse 17, to take the helmet of salvation. And this is the one you've maybe been waiting for, but this is something of a lookalike to the Roman
helmet, or the Roman soldier's helmet, way back many, many years ago. It was made of very, very heavy metal on the head, and it protected the head from the top of the eyes right round to the back of the head, and also had a plate that was to protect the back of the soldier to stop the sword as it may come down, and would have often come down in battle from going into the shoulder of the soldier. So there's different aspects to it, covering the whole head along with the face as well. There is pieces of material to protect the soldier's face. There's also a little thing, I don't know what you call it, I didn't have time to find out, but this was also, as if you can see it on the camera, something that would help to deflect the sword, the enemy sword, from coming too severe on the head of the soldier. If that was to stay up, which it would have on a proper soldier's helmet, and the sword came down, it was something that deflected to some degree the sword of the enemy. So, the helmet of salvation, it's very important that we take on the helmet of salvation. It's this piece of armour that we want to speak about and focus on this evening. And it's very important because it's the one that protected the head of the soldier. Inside the soldier's head was the mind. And they needed their mind to be able to make decisions as they went forward into battle. And as we go forward in the Christian life, those of us who are saved, and if any individual is to go forward for the Lord Jesus, they need to use their minds. And their minds need to be governed by the Word of God. And for that to happen, we have to receive this gift of salvation. And so the Bible says to take the helmet of salvation. And so salvation is something that we can receive. It's something that we can take as a gift. The Bible, or the chorus, tells us, or sings as we sing along with it, though you can't get to heaven without, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N, as a gift of his love, you receive, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. We want to encourage you to take the gift of salvation. There's many people that haven't heard of the message of salvation. There's many people that perhaps can't even pronounce salvation itself. And sadly, there's many people who hear about salvation but don't want to believe it and don't want to receive it. But I want to tell you that there's three things that salvation will do for you if you receive it. First thing is that it will release you from your guilt of sin. Now, I've brought a couple of cheap helmets with me. It's maybe not just as cool and maybe not just as exciting, but we're going to use them anyway, just to illustrate the point of how salvation can release us from our guilt of sin. This is a police helmet. It's actually a riot helmet. And whenever I see the police, it reminds me of how there's rules and there's laws. When you're driving along in the car, you check your speed. You think that about the light bulb that's out on the back corner. You think of many, many different things as you're driving along, because you know that the police have the power to perhaps not arrest you for something like that, but they're able to fine you, they're able to stop you, and they're able to look around the car. That's just one example. But there's rules. There's rules out in society. There's rules at home. There's rules at school. When they're on, that is. And when you go back to school, all being well, in a few weeks' time, couple of months' time, there'll be rules still in place. But there's rules wherever we go. But whenever we live in our society, there are certainly rules that we have to obey. Not all the laws are perfect, but there are many laws that protect us and keep us safe. But when we look at God's word, we find God's law. And we learn that the law of the Lord is perfect. We look at the commandments of thou shalt have no other gods before me. We look at the commandment of not to have or make any graven image. We're not to take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. We're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're to honour our father and our mother. We're not to kill, not to commit adultery, not to steal and lie and to covet and be jealous. When we see, as we look at God's law, we see something of God's holiness. We see God's holiness and how righteous and holy he is. It also is something that shows us, however, our sin. And this is the point that we want to get to. It shows us our sin and shows us that we deserve to be punished for that sin. Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law. And the Bible tells us that sin is actually a transgression of the law. It's going against God's word. Many people today wonder what sin is. We'll take a look at the law of God. It shows us how we are to live. It shows us God's holy, high standard. And if we transgress and go against that, we realize that that is sin. And there's not one of us, boys and girls, mums and dads, that are not guilty of breaking God's law. We are all found guilty of breaking God's law. On Judgment Day, when God judges those people who die in their sins, they're going to be found guilty. In fact, the Bible actually says that he that believeth not is condemned already. So boys and girls, parents, grandparents, we are guilty of breaking God's law. Not one of us is without excuse. And so we must take the helmet of salvation. We must put it on. We must take the gift of salvation, because it is through salvation, it is through being saved, through trusting in the Lord Jesus, that we can be released from the guilt of our sin. If someone was to step into the courtroom after I was being put on trial, or while I was being put on trial, and I was about to be punished and sentenced for a crime I had done, and somebody was to walk in and say that they were going to take the punishment for me, that would help you illustrate or help you understand. And it would illustrate to you, it would be like a picture that would show you what God does for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary, he paid the debt of our sin. And because of his righteousness, because of his holy, and because of his perfect life and nature, and the shedding of his blood by death on the cross, God is able to cancel out our sin. He's able to release us from our sins. That's one thing that salvation does for us. The second thing is that it rescues us from the consequence of our sin, from the result that sin brings. The Bible says that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I brought with me a fireman's helmet. We could have brought a rescue helmet or some other type of helmet, which would be a picture of a job of someone who would try and rescue people who would be in danger. But I brought this with me, and a fireman's helmet, or a woman who might wear it as well, reminds us of how so often they rescue people from car accidents. They rescue people from fires, from different types of dangers. Our boys love Fireman Sam, and I've never seen a town as busy or a fire station as busy rescuing the same 8 people every single week, nearly. But it's a busy show. But, you know, when we come to the Bible and we read God's word, we see that the Bible warns us of sin, as we've looked at, but it also warns us of the consequences of sin. It warns us of the danger of sin. And we have many, many different examples right throughout the Bible where God is reminding people of sin and warning them of the consequence of it. Adam and Eve, for example, they were separated from the Lord and put out of the garden. And many consequences came as a result of sin in this physical world. There was sickness, suffering, physical death, a range of many things. But you know, there's a greater danger as a result of sin, an eternal danger, a danger from which there is no escape if we refuse to admit our sin and trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. The Bible warns us that there is a punishment for those who die in their sins without having been forgiven. The Bible makes it clear it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's something that's certain. It's something that will certainly happen. And the Bible tells us that he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That shows us that God will show and pour out his anger upon those who die in their sins. Many times Jesus warned people about the danger of the judgment, the danger of the punishment. He warned how it would be a place of eternal suffering forever for those who would die without receiving the gift of God's salvation. A place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's something that we need warned of. If you're not yet saved, it's something that you must be warned of to flee from before it's too late. Jesus spoke of this as a real place, an eternal place, a place where God would judge those who would die in their sins. So this helmet reminds us of the great danger of souls needing rescued from the punishment of hell itself. And whenever we think about the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, not only do we learn that he is the one who releases us from our guilt of sin, but when we take the helmet of salvation, he rescues us from the danger of sin, the consequence of our sin. Whenever Paul and Silas were in the prison that night in Acts 16, you'll remember the story well, where the Philippian jailer came in and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he came to these people who had been witnessing that night. They had been singing and they had been praising God and praying unto the Lord. And he came into these people and he fell down before them and asked them the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And they told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." We know that Sunday school's been off over the past few weeks, and you haven't been able to speak to your teachers that you'd normally be with each Sunday morning. Maybe you're a young person who doesn't come to the church services and your family don't come. But perhaps you have a Christian in your family or a Christian friend you can go to. Like the Philippian jailer, you can go and speak to them and talk to them a little bit more about the word of the Lord. And the last thing we want to leave with you is the fact that salvation redeems us to serve the Lord. When we take on the helmet of salvation, when we receive salvation as a gift, the Lord redeems us to serve him, the Savior. And when a man or woman signs up for the army and goes into a battle, they cannot fight on both sides. I think that's very clear. Whenever we look at armies, you're either in one or the other. They either fight for one or fight in the other. In the Lord's army, there's no place as well for pretending to love and serve and fight for the Savior. You're either among the righteous, you're either saved, or you're among the unrighteous, those who are not yet saved. You're the one who's walking in the light of God's word, or you're one who is still walking in the darkness of your sins. And so those who believe on the Lord Jesus, they understand that they are someone who has had their heart changed. They are one who has been found to be condemned and guilty, but by the law, they realize their sin will take them to hell. But they are one who realizes and appreciates what Christ has done on the cross to save them from their sin. And so they come to him, and the Lord redeems them. He buys them back. He saves them that they might then serve him who is the King of Kings and who is the Lord of Lords. Boys and girls, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Sadly, there's many people, whether they're a parent or a grandparent or a young person perhaps listening in even today, there's many people who think that their prayer that they prayed at one point in their life, or they think that the helmet of maybe if we could call it churchianity, going to church, which is a good thing, but yet they maybe depend on going to church as a way of salvation. They maybe put on the helmet of good works. They maybe put on the helmet of giving to charity and being a good giver. They maybe put on the helmet of good living and they try to live a good clean life, and they think that that is something that will buy their way into heaven so that they can have eternal life. But the Bible reminds us that we must seek the Lord. We must turn to him while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We must trust him for salvation, because he's the only one that can release us from our guilt of sin. He's the only one that can rescue us from the danger and the consequence of sin before it's too late. And he's the only one who can buy us back to take away our sin and make us right with God and make us ready for heaven. I trust that you will find Christ Jesus. I trust that you will put your faith in him, find true salvation in him, and be released from the guilt of sin. Be set free from your sin. Be rescued before it's too late from eternal danger. And I trust you, as you come and receive this gift of salvation before it's too late, you'll come to understand what it is to be redeemed and bought back by the Savior. There are many soldiers who have went out into battle, and there are individuals who have gone into battle and they have maybe retreated, and they have maybe gone back. Well, in the Lord's army, we have to go forward. And as we put on the helmet of salvation, we can trust that the Lord will protect us, and the Lord will help us as we fight on, sending forth the truth of God's word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I trust that we've learned some lessons today from the word of God in relation to the armour of God. And perhaps you can think at this stage, while you have a moment, about your own soul and your need to get right with the Lord Jesus.